laugh has been described as a chuckle.
Right.
Oh, the British guy, I know.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that one British guy. Well, there's a British teenager.
If you feel the need to read it, check it out from the library.
I don't
support your local. La la la.
Told the parents. No. And we are the bookies. Hey there, people of the interwebs. It's me, Brandon Noel, your favorite cartoonist, painter, author. This episode of the bookies is brought to you by, you guessed it, patreon.com/destinycomics. Comics spelled C-O-M-I-X. Please check out our Patreon. We have the... every Sunday, a new the Sunday Funnies being posted there, as well as all kinds of, you know, you get first crack of the podcast because the podcast goes up earlier on the Patreon. There's all kinds of fun goodies available through our Patreon, as well as bookmarks, Book of the Month Club, really fun stuff. You know, we can't do this without support, like, supporters like you. It's cliche, but it's true. Sometimes the fumes are running on empty, but, we're able to do stuff. We're able to keep going on. This podcast has been going on since 2016. Because of supporters like you, and where we're trying to make the Patreon the number one stop, and then we also have our store if you want to buy our books directly. Destiny Comics .weebly.com, and you're able to buy our books directly from us. Our books are also, most of our books are also available on Amazon. Some of them not. Some of them you have to buy directly from us. Stuff like our my joke books and things like that. I've been doing this a long time, and I've published quite a bit of. I have a bit of a catalog. We have short story anthologies. We have a novel, two novellas. If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're a voracious reader. So please check out some of the stuff we've written. Everybody at the Bookies podcast table has kind of contributed to the short story anthologies in the past, the 8-bit pulp magazines. So that's a good way to get to know some of the other contributors. With that said... This upcoming episode is The Road by Cormac McCarthy. Not gonna lie, this one's dark. This is a dark one. We read a lot of kids' books from time to time. This ain't one of those. As Gonzo says in The Muppet Christmas Carol, we might come back when it's a little less scary. This one's dark. Even dark for me. So, with that said, I hope you enjoy our review and of The Road.
Lestat and Louis, they're looking at Edward, and he says, "What is that?" Going, "He's supposed to be a vampire." And he's like, "Vampire? We're vampires, not a lamppost."
Well, they call it shaving off the numbers, or shaving off the where you take your fanfic and you just rewrite it enough that it can be an original property. Mm-hmm. And then people are publishing it. And I watched this long video about people. It's something called the Omegaverse, where it's like sexy werewolves or sexy wolves. Is very weird.
Okay.
And one author was suing another author for, because they're like, it's too close to my pornographic werewolf book. Like, it was insane.
Sounds like something Donnie would do.
I'm so sorry. I have to take you to court. Your hairy wolf dicks are too similar to my hairy wolf dicks.
Yeah, it was just... But it happened.
That totally sounds like something Donnie would do. Oh,
my. I heard a scuttlebutt a while ago that supposedly something like the Divergent series started out as fan fiction for, like, the Hunger Games.
Oh.
Something like that.
I think the author was just trying to capitalize on the Hunger Games.
It could have been. Like, I might be wrong about the series, but, like, some very popular thing that, you know, took off a little bit was essentially fan fiction. And it wasn't 50 Shades. It was another thing.
I do remember...
51 Shades?
51 Shades of Grey.
I do remember when I first heard about 50 Shades of Grey being a fan fiction. At first, I was so mad because I was like, I spent years writing fan fiction, and none of my crap took up.
You're telling me I could have been a rich, horny soccer mom this whole time.
Right? Like, you mean people, like, I could have changed it enough that they wouldn't have known it was Harry Potter and, like, made it my own thing? Oh, okay.
One of my favorite things was online, somebody was attacking fan fiction, like, just write your own thing. And Neil Gaiman popped up and goes, the very first thing I ever wrote and published was Lovecraft fan fiction. It's like...
Yeah, that's coming from Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
And then someone stole my Harry Potter idea.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, yeah, yeah, that was more...
yeah, but he didn't...
He's never pursued it legally, and I think it's probably because one company is a subsidiary of the other company. You know, DC Comics is a subsidiary of Warner Brothers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, so we are the Bookies.
Oh, shit, we're doing it.
And yes. We're doing it.
I was going to say, you have to start. I will say that it was been starting before you said wolf dick, just so you know. So that's on the podcast.
Oh, good. I'm glad. That's my legacy, wolf dick.
I was just sitting here thinking, this is my favorite part. This is going to be on the podcast.
Yay.
Yeah. Gonna talk about Harry Wolf Dick. Okay. Sorry. I did it like five times right now.
We totally need to start over. This is terrible.
No. Keep it in.
This is all.
Well, I know, but I edit it out, right?
Harry Wolf Dick.
Sometimes I edit out the preamble. Sometimes I don't.
Oh my God.
This one's staying in.
Roll a d20 for initiative.
Yeah.
All right. So we are the Bookies. I am Brandon Noel.
I'm Justin Stallard.
I'm Bonnie Stallard.
Wayne Abraham.
David McFarlane. Louis Lopez.
Maylene Noel.
We are the Bookies. This month we are reading The Road by,
Cormac McCarthy.
We couldn't find our physical copy this morning. Louis, this was your book.
This is my problem.
This is your problem.
Yeah. You made everybody's problem.
Your fault.
You want to recap the plot?
This is not me.
There's a road. There's a guy and his son. And it's very dark. The end.
Basically.
Had you read it before?
No.
It's just one you wanted to read?
Yeah.
This is why we don't do that, guys. So we don't do that. Okay.
Half the point of book club is to put a new thing.
I know. Yeah. But remember, I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
And the other half is when it's a problem.
The original rule was... We don't put anything in there that we know was ill, like, I wanted to...
No 50 Shades of Crap.
Yeah, we wanted to prevent trolling.
50 Shades of Shit.
Yeah. Like, the original phrasing was, you don't put anything in that you knew was a poor quality.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I wanted to prevent trolling.
Or that you knew someone in the group would specifically have a problem with one for one reason or another.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you don't know going in ahead of time, then that's a completely different thing, you know.
No.
I have never put in.
So, yeah, this book was my suggestion. I had known about it for a little while that it was post-apocalyptic, and I'm, for the last year and a half or so, I've been on a big post-apocalyptic show and movie kick, and of course we read World War Z a little while ago.
That was awesome.
That was
good. Yeah. And I also knew that it was an award-winning book. I think it won the Pulitzer.
It won the Pulitzer in 2006 when it came out.
And I I'd heard about Cormac McCarthy as an author for a while.
He's written a lot of books.
Oh, yeah. I started one of his books a while ago, and it was hard to get through because of his usage of specific grammatical tropes that are his, like run-on sentences and lack of
punctuation.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's like his style of writing, but...
It's Hemingway-esque.
Yeah. But obviously the guy's a very accomplished writer, so I figured this, you know, seems like it's right up my alley. Let's go ahead and give it a shot.
And he does have a new book coming out sometime, I think, later this year.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And I did a little research, and people are all like, it's been, you know, forever since he's had a new book, and so people are all excited about the new Cormac McCarthy book.
They can enjoy that.
They can. He's a very, like, Salinger-esque writer. He doesn't do much press.
Mm-hmm.
He did, like, one interview with Oprah, and that's, like, all the press he's really done.
I had heard that the only reason he did that interview is because another member of his family, I think it was his wife or daughter or something, told him, it's Oprah, go on the show. And he's like, okay.
He's 89.
Mm-hmm.
So dang. The fact that he's still putting out books is something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, so overall plot of the book,
you summed it up pretty well. Yeah. Survival, that's all it's about.
Yeah. It's the extent that people are willing to go to survive in a post-apocalyptic scenario. It's about a father and a son. I don't think they ever have names in the
book.
Nope,
there's no names.
And basically, they're trying to get from somewhere in North America to the coast. I think it's the West Coast, I want to say.
Mm.
And they're on a road.
They keep
on
going south.
They're going south.
So I'm thinking it's probably Texas.
And they made it far enough south where things were...
Well,
because
it was so cold, they were trying to move south.
Right.
Right.
And they made it far enough south where
it's
everything was in Spanish.
Yeah.
So they made it to Mexico or...
Texas, somewhere down there.
You know.
Somewhere, yeah.
I had them going the other way.
They always say south, south, south.
Yeah.
You're right. I was turned around.
Yeah.
I'm a bad Boy Scout.
It's okay. You're fine. You'll survive the road.
I don't think I will.
Please don't make us survive it again.
All right. So, what was your
favorite parts?
The good stuff.
That's the good stuff right now.
I liked when they found the apocalypse bunker on the what I presumed was a farmhouse of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, the first time that the son drinks a Coke from the vending machine that the father finds because he like shoves his whole arm in there. There's one left, and he gives it to the son, and it's fizzing and bubbling. And the son was born post-apocalyptic event, so he has no idea what Coke is. He's like concerned that it's fizzy and dark and bubbling and weird and smells strong, and the father's like, drink it, you'll like it. And he's like, but Papa. And then he likes it, and then they have more Coke later.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those like nice humanity preserving moments in overwhelming bleakness, which is the entirety of the book.
Yes,
the idea of sharing a soda with your dad, like that's that's universal.
Yeah. So that was one of my favorite parts. It's not a good favorite part, but I liked how protective the father was of the son. Like, in a world where half the people are eating each other, you know, we have these two individuals that are trying to preserve their humanity and be good people, you know, good guys as opposed to the bad guys, right?
Right.
They're carrying the fire. I liked that. Because they could have very easily, and the father does sometimes, fall into their, like, base natures of, we're just going to fucking kill everybody because everybody's an enemy, you know, but they didn't do that. I felt that was, like, a very humanizing moment for them throughout the course of the book.
Right.
So, yeah.
Next. Okay.
You.
So, I would say, kind of going along with that, I felt that I liked the little moments. Like you said, I like how, even though the son was born post-apocalypse or whatever happened,
Yeah, that, he tells us what happened.
Yeah. We'll get there, Bonnie.
Just a comment.
And he is still, like, basically telling his dad, like, look, we can't just leave this guy, like, out here. What was it, the guy that they came across?
The old guy.
The old guy, strip him down or whatever. And he's like, Dad, we can't just.
The bad guy that attacked, that took their stuff. Yeah. That was way later. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's near the end of the book.
And his dad's like, no, let's keep going. And he's like, Dad, really? We're just going to do this? We're going to leave him barefoot and all this? And so his son, you know, himself had some humanity that his dad had kind of lost, which you kind of expect in this kind of scenario, you know? But yeah, and so I feel like his son was basically there to remind the father of the humanity that he once had. And I did feel like it was fairly well written. You know, like there was, it wasn't like he I feel like he didn't try to use big pretentious words. He just kept his speech very simple, like if I was telling everyone here about a vacation, oh yeah, then we went here and did this and that, you know, like you're not gonna expect these big like $20,000 words. You know what I mean? He kept it simple, so.
And there weren't long Tolkien-esque descriptions.
Yeah.
No.
Was it the Screwtape Diaries?
Screwtape Letters.
Or whatever.
Screwtape Letters.
That wasn't Tolkien. That was C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Different Heidi Poitty writer.
Okay.
Probably because it's been a while since I've read it, but I was doing a little research, and one of the scenes that I was reminded of was a flashback with, you know, Papa and, you know, pregnant mom, and they're looking at the world burning, and he just goes over and starts filling the tub up with water, and she goes, are you going to take a bath? He goes, no. Like, the idea of, like, this is drinking water now.
Yeah, we're going to need this.
Like, he's not smart, but he's clever. Because there's a couple moments where Papa does stupid things, in the you know. But he's, at his core, he's clever. He's not a survivalist. He's not a prepper. He hasn't thought everything all the way through. But he's clever enough to stay alive.
That's one of those things where if you do have prepper tendencies or think about, like, the collapse of society, when he fills up the tub, you're like, oh, shit, this is the end. Like, this is real now.
That's when you get every single container and fill it up with water.
Yeah. You know, so I'm...
Trash bags and everything.
So, like, throughout the whole book, we see that. Like, Papa's not an idiot, but he's also not the... He's not prepared for this. He makes stupid mistakes.
Well, and it's been... Because the kid was basically born right after. So the kid's, what, 9?
I put him younger than that.
Yeah, I'd say probably...
Well, I thought they said...
7?
I forget.
Yeah. I don't know.
Under the age of 10.
Yeah.
Under 10.
So he's been doing this for several years. Like, you know, at least 7 years. You feel like, sometimes you're like, okay, well, you've been doing this for this long. Why are you making that mistake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that scene, like, I think was the best, like, driving home how, like, oh, this is the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I dug that scene. And ultimately, I did kind of like Papa. But again, he makes so many stupid mistakes. It's hard to root for him.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that.
Yeah. Justin?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Maylene. The little things, you know, the little human things, like the scene where they find the waterfall and they take a swim. And
even though it's freezing cold.
Even though it's freezing cold. And they are clever in some regards.
When Papa found the cistern in the old farmhouse, the like
underground
well.
Yeah.
Like he had to dig for it, but knew that there might be something there.
He shows little I like the fact that he shows like these little insights, right? Mm-hmm. Something's like when they found the Prepper's hoard. He was just looking around and he realized something was off about the ground, mm-hmm. And he realized that the ground was flexing
because it was a bomb shelter or whatever. You know, yeah.
And so I did like those little bitty bits and there he managed to give some decent build of the characters, I think, where you kind of get to know who the Papa was compared to what he was in that, and he just tried to do the best by his boy that he knew how. Mm-hmm. So. Bonnie?
I liked the... probably one of my favorite scenes was towards the end when they found the ship. And even though some of the things weren't in English, he recognized some things enough, and you know, they found, I don't know, I really liked it. They got to the beach, they got to enjoy the beach. The kid never seen the ocean. Like, there's some cool stuff in that part. It was a fun part. And you know, just even the flare gun, mm-hmm. and how they, you know, they did just shoot one off just so he could see it, you know, like, I mean, that's the closest kid's ever going to get to fireworks, you know, so that was cool. And dang, they went and used their flare gun to defend themselves too, like, dang. Mm-hmm. Oh,
that
was a scene.
Yeah, and the guys just scream, like, I've never been hit by a flare, obviously, but I imagine it must have thrown off something that stuck with him and like burned like napalm,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Well,
sulfur and some of them used to be made of phosphorus, weren't they?
Yeah. Phosphorus or magnesium.
Yeah.
Because they could even burn underwater. So we've got
white phosphorus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so few moments of happiness that every time there was a happy moment, I was like, yay. This is happy. Oh, they're eating canned fruit. This is great. Oh, you know, like just little things like that. Because I was like, oh, and then there's more of this. Oh, look, a happy moment. Yay. Like, you just, those little moments are
definitely
few and far between.
Coaster,
and so you're like, oh, thank goodness. Because I don't think I could have taken any more of the bleakness. Oh, we had a happy moment. So you like those moments. He has an interesting writing style. Mm-hmm. I appreciated some of the metaphors and things that he used. There's some things about his writing style I didn't like, but there were, mm-hmm. but it was interesting. It was different. There were some things I liked, some things I did not, which we can talk about later.
I will say, I think, because I listened to the audiobook version of this, I think his writing style plays better over audio than reading it.
Probably. I was asking because there was no indication listening to it that, oh, now it's a flashback. Like, you had to catch up.
Yeah.
So I was asking my dad, Wayne, I was asking him, I'm assuming it's a different type style or it's an italics. And he's like, nope. Nope, there's no indication. I'm like,
as someone who did both, because I read part of it and I listened to an audio version,
mm-hmm.
there is that problem. There were a couple other, like, issues, which I'll get into later.
Yeah.
Reading the book. But I will say, overall, the audio version was better.
Yeah.
So, for clarity for those listening, the actual text itself doesn't have quotation marks. So, like, and it doesn't even necessarily say, like, so-and-so said this, or Papa said. Like,
you don't get a he said or she said.
No, it's just like, random dialogue, but there's no...
No quotation.
Quotations to break it up.
Like, he's just scared, Papa. The son said that, but there's no quotation marks. There's no the son said. It's just that sentence.
Right. Which the guy did a good job with the voices, and I'm assuming that the guy who did the audio part had to be more familiar with it, like it wasn't his first time reading it. Because
that's a director. That's a director breaking down the...
Right, because...
Highlighted the lines for him to see or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because otherwise, I mean, man. Yeah.
Okay, the boy's
hard.
Lines are in blue.
Yeah.
The Papa's lines are in pink or whatever.
Yeah.
Everything else in yellow is just...
Yeah.
That's just good audiobook production.
And it was. It was. I'll give them that. His writing was, like I said, it was different. It was interesting,
maybe not my favorite, but it was. I'll give him props for being different, you know.
Of course, you binged the book in one day. So
sorry, Bonnie.
Dude, why'd you do that to yourself?
No, it wasn't one day. It was two.
2 days. Okay.
I did it in 2 days.
I still don't know why you did that.
Because I could. Because I was playing Breath of the Wild on mute and listening to the book. like literally. Well, and I did dishes and did some cooking while I was doing that too. But mostly. I played video games so that I had something that was positive while I listened to this really, really depressing book.
And then Brandon got COVID.
yeah, I was like, oh, well, I finished before the week, and it's... So I did. I binged it in 2 days, and that was a month ago. So, you know, there's that. Wayne? Papa?
Stuff that I liked.
Yeah, stuff you liked.
Canned peaches.
Yay!
Yay for... And... fruit cocktail to break it up from time to time.
Yeah. Well, and they had pears, which I thought I had pears. I'm sorry, guys.
And they
I'm out of pears.
They had some hot cocoa, too.
Oh, yeah. And didn't they have coffee? Yeah.
There was one packet of grape drink, like Kool-Aid.
Oh, I know. I almost went to get some of
that.
That
was a neat little moment. I actually liked that moment.
I forgot about that. That was cute. Because
you got to figure, this kid.
I think it was just right. And grape drink, it was probably a packet of Kool-Aid, and most Kool-Aid packets don't even have sugar. Yeah. So it wasn't even sweetened, it was just grape flavored. Yeah. Like,
I imagined it was either that or like Crystal Light, which would have been much.
Right.
Or the powder high C. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, you know, that them finding food was major highlights of the story.
Yeah,
because
that was the whole goal.
when they ran out, you know, they, you know, at one point spent almost a week with no food, you know, before finding something here or there, and
bark's not tasty.
Yeah.
Nor very filling.
So
I think the saying is 3 days without water and 3 weeks without food.
In theory, but if you're already low, it's harder.
You're already
low calorie.
Yeah.
With you're on the verge of starvation as it is. It makes it less.
Depending
time
on
you
the
can manage.
Climate, it could be 3 hours.
Right, and it was
water.
Very. Oh, that's true. Yeah, the desert. But it was very cold.
Yeah, I don't think they were in a hot.
No.
They were freezing all the time.
It was too cold. No sun.
Right.
That's called nuclear winter.
That was actually something.
We don't
know
if it was a nuclear bomb. We'll get there.
I don't know. Anyway.
Well, the phrase, I'm convinced that the phrase doesn't have to do with nuclear arsenals. I think it's just some kind of explosive event powerful enough to blot out the sun.
Because it could be, a mega volcano.
That's what I thought.
Or simply an asteroid.
I thought the mega volcano. I thought, like, you know, because they're always afraid of Yellowstone blowing up.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought it was. Because I felt like if it was nuclear, everyone would be...
Radiation burns.
That's what you figure. But there's never any... nobody has a Geiger counter. There's never mention of nuclear fallout at all, I don't think.
No.
Or radiation
might
or anything.
Be volcanic.
It's just, you know... Black skies, black everything with ash all over the place. There are no plants. There are no animals.
In the Road Warrior, we get it. It's gasoline shortage led to the collapse of society. Mm-hmm. Like, we're never told what happened. But I'm going with Yellowstone.
The Road Warrior? No, it was nuclear winter.
Was it nuclear winter?
Because
Mel Gibson, am I misremembering this?
Yeah, because remember they called it the Pocky Clips.
Oh, I am misremembering.
And it showed the explosion. And
yeah,
it was a nuclear winter. Gasoline certainly becomes a finite resource at that point.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, I didn't have access to an audiobook for this.
I'm sorry.
So I read it, and
this week
I read it in 2 days. About
you two are definitely related.
I read it in 2 days, but I read the first half, and then I went about 3 weeks, and then yesterday I read the second half. Yeah, but in spite of the
good for you, have you really
the lack of
short ones,
the lack of, you know, punctuation and. you know, the son said, the dad said, whatever, writing cues, I didn't find that a hindrance. I didn't even consciously think about it. I was just reading the book, and mm-hmm. I found it a very easy read, and I didn't think anything about it until... three or four days before that, Maylene and I were talking, and she's like, I'm listening to the audiobook, and it really bugs me. I've been doing some of the actual reading, too, and the lack of punctuation and stuff, and I'm going, lack of punctuation?
Like, you didn't even notice.
Yeah, you pulled
her
arm, something like,
oh. and then I'm up here, and I go to a scene, and I go, oh, and she's right.
To the point where I'm sitting there thinking, oh, God, is this like that one book situation where he's got a different version than I do, where he's got punctuation, and for some reason mine doesn't, like I got a rare misprint or something like that?
That's happened to us a couple of times.
Right? Nope.
And I looked at it, and I go, oh, she's right. It doesn't.
I caught that on page 10.
Yes, but...
But see, for me, it was not something that affected my reading. It didn't hinder my reading mm-hmm. and my understanding of the book. I just read it, and I was like,
"Well, maybe this is you had gotten into the poetry of it." The
you know, it,
there is some mm-hmm. poeticness about it. Yes,
to an extent, this style of writing is almost conversational.
Yeah.
You know, it was a different style of writing than what I was used to. I didn't have a problem reading it. I was enjoying the style of writing. I don't know what things you do to qualify for a Pulitzer.
B. Cormac McCarthy.
You know, I guess.
I
won the Pulitzer the year it came out.
Yeah,
2006.
Yeah. Right.
Else was printed that year? Was it just a low year? I'm sorry.
I don't know what is required to qualify or anything like that. You know, so I can't say. Oh, well, yeah, it obviously deserved the Pulitzer,
It is a really unique writing style, though. Like, there's mm-hmm. some really interesting poetry to some of the things he writes. I'll give him that, absolutely.
Well, a lot of award-winning books, I've noticed, tend to be a lot more heavy in terms of the topic matter. And themes mm-hmm. and subject matter, and this certainly is heavy shit.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I like the fact that... I mean, we knew early on, because the dad was always coughing and there were always blood spots. We knew dad wasn't going to make it to the end of the book.
No, we knew that. Surprisingly.
He made it almost all the way to the end of the book.
He made it to the ocean.
Yeah.
That was their goal.
And so,
the fact that
the boy hooked up with a family group at the end was about as positive an ending you could put on the thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the book, you know, is bleak. And there is precious little hope in the story at all. And so the book had... It was a positive ending. I wouldn't necessarily call it a hopeful ending. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, as the time was passing, some plants were starting to bud and some things like that.
But it's been years and there's nothing.
And it's just, there is no other life on the planet, you know?
I mean, that's consistent with nuclear winter, you know?
Yeah. And it's obvious that there aren't a lot of people surviving because they haven't run out of oxygen yet. I mean, there's nothing to convert carbon dioxide to oxygen.
I hadn't even thought of that. Holy shit. I hadn't thought of that at all.
You know, the ocean is dead, so there's no plankton doing conversion. All the plants are dead. There is nothing regenerating the atmosphere.
Now I'm even more depressed.
That's terrifying.
Look at this book.
holy shit, I've always considered nuclear winter as a bad thing, specifically because of the, you know, plant life death, thus cows and chickens die, so, like, prey animals die, and then predator animals die, and people die. Like, I hadn't even thought about the atmosphere itself and oxygen and carbon dioxide and stuff. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This is the point where you come out and say this was one giant April Fool's joke. You played on us.
Okay. The Road, Beat Out for the Pulitzer, two other books. After This by Alec...
By Alice McDermott.
McDermott.
And The Echo Maker by Richard Powers.
Never heard of either of them.
I've heard of Alice McDermott, the author, but I don't know what she's written.
Mm-hmm. But that's what The Road beat out for Pulitzer.
Okay.
Hopefully they're happier.
So, but anyways, that's my few high points. I mean, it was neat when they found the dad said something's off here, and they found that bunker, and you know, it was like mm-hmm. an amazing food find, and you know,
and they didn't stay to eat at all.
I know.
it would have been a severe temptation to do that, you know, but then the odds are once you've uncovered it and it's less hidden, then
yes, no, I understood.
Oh, I could have hid that well.
Right?
You know, put a mattress over it. Are you freaking stupid? Sorry.
Yes.
Please.
We still have to get through the positives.
Positives, yeah. Positives first.
Go ahead, Dave.
Dave, what did you like about this book?
I liked it. What I liked most about it was written to be sad.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he did a very good job.
He accomplishes his goal.
Absolutely. Definitely.
And this book wasn't supposed to be nice. Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Mm. Nope.
And he accomplished that. I mean, yes, there's things that I disagree with in this book, but...
We'll get to those later.
Oh, yeah. There's not much I really liked about it. I saw the movie first before I read the book, and the movie is really, really close to the book.
I want to watch it. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either.
Yeah, it's really close to the book. I mean, I saw the movie once, because I remember Viggo Mortensen, and it was just a little bit of changes. I think Charlize Theron plays the wife, and she just wanders off into the nuclear ash. Mm-hmm. In the movie, it looked like nuclear winter.
Mm.
But anyway, I like when. They had the father-son moments, and there I just like how the author describes what the countryside looks like and what happened, and remains of this and remains of that, and it was a very interesting read, and it was meant to be sad, and he accomplished it, but I didn't really have to like it. I don't think it was meant to be liked.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he was, the author himself was making a message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was meant to be impactful, and it certainly was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm kind of indifferent with it.
Okay.
Well, I guess...
Dislikes.
Most of these, I honestly think most of these dislikes are just going to be opinions of what people thought about the situations.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the descriptions of the world in terms of the darkness and bleakness and how you got a very clear picture of what it was, but with as much description of the world as there was, it kind of ended up looking the same every once in a while. Like he mentions the ash covering everything, like, a lot. And of course it is. It's the end of the world. It's nuclear winter. But, like, there's not a whole lot of unique descriptions of that throughout the book. And granted,
I don't think they're supposed to be, because I think it's supposed to relate to anyone in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
To anywhere that whenever this is going to happen, anywhere in the world,
it's going to be certain descriptions
the same.
Monotonous.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same.
it's all going to look the same. And granted, this is a very quick read, so it didn't bother me too much or anything, but, like, the world kind of looked the same, but it kind of was supposed to look the same. Like, everything was covered in ash, everything was gray, everything was dark and cold all the time. But I imagine, I mean, granted, Nuclear Winter is a theoretical reality right now, not a real reality, but I imagine that is accurate, you know. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it does kind of make it a little bit monotonous at times, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's probably why the book is short.
Yeah.
One of the things, because the author's name, although I don't really think I've heard of him before, mm-hmm. kept ringing a bell, and I just realized why. He also wrote No Country for Old Men.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
Yeah.
And so I've seen the movie for that, and apparently he's known for...
Yeah, I saw that movie. I haven't read the book.
All of his work is apparently violent and bleak and... post-apocalypse.
But I like No Country for Old Men.
Oh yeah, it was a good movie.
He's just saying he's...
I just... No, he wrote it. His name kept ringing a bell and I didn't know why.
I bet he's a real joy at parties.
Yeah, shocking violence with a purpose is kind of his thing, I think, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, the darkness, the bleakness, like I said, it wasn't like a bad thing. I didn't hate it or anything, but it did kind of wear on me after a while. The audiobook version that I listened to, the son says Papa
a lot.
This is such a petty thing for me to dislike, but I disliked how often he said, "But Papa, oh Papa, please Papa," like, stop it.
Okay.
It could be just the way the guy said it to me.
It annoyed me. I don't know.
When we were in bed just before we go to sleep, I go, "Papa, am I gonna die?"
Real punch. That's why he got real punch. I told him, "Please shut up."
Yeah.
One time, I think I told him I want a divorce. Stop it.
But Papa.
Oh my gosh.
I will punch you in the throat.
Again.
Oh. That's honestly probably my biggest complaint. Like, I liked the overall narrative of the book. Some parts of it, so many Papas, it annoyed me a little bit, but that's pretty much it. I think that's it, you know. And that's just a critique of, like, the writing style, not even so much the narrative itself, you know.
Mm.
That's probably it for me, yeah.
All right. Stand back.
Yeah, save some for everyone.
I don't know if I can. I had so many things that I did not... I'm sorry, Liz. I didn't like this book at all.
That's totally fair.
And I get what...
We're not
you
friends
know.
Anymore, but that's fair.
I'm just saying, suggest a book like this again. We're sitting across the table from each other, so I'm going to punch you. Okay. I get that it's supposed to be bleak. I totally get that. You know, it's a thing. Mm-hmm. And if I, you know, I can appreciate that that is what makes some of the books that he writes really good, right? I get it. It's just not my style, so that is not even going to be like an issue for me as far as the bleakness, because I can just chalk that up to not being my kind of book, right?
Right.
So that, I don't even count that as a negative per se, because this way, you know, I could say, hey, people who like this kind of book, cool, you know, that's great. But one of the smaller things that bothered me was the punctuation when reading the book.
Oh, yeah.
It totally messed me up anytime, especially when he started the sentence, like the quotations, or what would be in quotations in the middle of a paragraph.
Yeah.
Because I'd be reading it, and all of a sudden, like, wait, but it would jar me out of the story. Like, wait, oh, okay, someone's talking now. The fact that there were no names, it's like, okay, I have to take it into context. Okay, the kid's talking now. Okay, now the, you know, whatever. And then, but my main issue with this story is, aside from the bleakness, is that nothing happens. They walk, they eat when they can, they sleep. They walk, they eat when they can, they sleep.
And they run from cannibals.
And they run from cannibals, but like that's
you just described Lord of the Rings.
That's why I've never read Lord of the Rings.
There's also fighting in Lord of the Rings. There is a lot of action. The second book, Two Towers, is almost all war.
Okay. I've never read
Also Bug's Life.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Come to eat, they leave.
Right, exactly. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, halfway through this book, I'm like, is there, like,
And I think because the few things that happen are so few and far between, I kind of forgot that most of them happened. Like, mm-hmm. because the rest of the book is just bleak walking, oh, Papa, are we going to die? No, sir, we're not going to die. Papa, are you going to die? No, sir. Oh, but Papa. It's like, oh, my God, please. Like, I was banging my head. Like, I was listening to the audiobook at one point, and on my way to and from work, and I had to turn it off. I'm like, I'm going to fall asleep. Like, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah, that's dangerous to drive.
Either that or throwing my phone out the window because the kid's saying, but Papa. It's like, oh my gosh.
And you work with kids too.
But the thing is, none of them.
But Brandon.
But the thing is, this kid was annoying.
Yeah, never mind.
I'm so glad that the thing that you hated the most about the book is not the bleak subject matter, but the boringness of it.
The absolute boringness of mine. Oh, look! Boringness. They went from point A to point B.
Papa!
Again. Papa!
Papa was said 70 times.
Right? It's like, oh my goodness. Like, no, 70 times on one page. Okay? And it's like, oh, so that, yeah, that was just, it was so mind-numbing to me, and it was, and
here I thought your main problem was the baby eating scene. No, it was just the boringness of it.
They didn't eat it.
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
I completely forgot. I blacked that out. Thank you.
They were going to.
No, they ate the baby.
They cooked it, but then they left. I thought they didn't actually eat it.
They ate the innards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I blocked that out.
You know, I had forgotten about that scene as well. Thank you. Thanks.
Welcome to being my friend.
Everybody turn around so I could. Oh my goodness. And so yeah, that was my main issue with it.
Would that
and
be called sharecropping?
Wow.
Someone throat punch David, please. I'm not close enough.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
And you know, when listening to the audio version, I also had that problem of not being able to tell when it was a flashback and, oh, like, again, okay, how far back was this flashback from going on before I realized?
Right? Like, yeah, you had to really, like, what?
Oh.
Flashback.
Those were my main issues. And, you know, to the point where I almost had the same reaction Wayne did with Maze Runner, where it's like, when he said, why is this a New York Times bestseller? I was like, oh my God, like, that was kind of, like, that reaction to finishing the book. When it ended, I'm like, that's my favorite part, the end.
Yay! Yay, I'm alone again!
Oh, wait. That's fine. You know, I can say I've, you know, my record's going strong, finish every book we made, you know. But yeah, so those are my main issues, and yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Oh yeah. If you want me to relate and root for your characters, pardon the French, but give them a fucking name.
Right?
Papa and boy.
They're not fully
developed characters. They don't have any names. I can't relate to, you know, give me, you know, and like, this is a choice the author made that I felt was stupid. How am I supposed to root for these characters when they're not even rooting for themselves? Right? Like, Papa, I want to die. I want you to die too. If you're not going to fight, if you don't have that, I'm coming out swinging. It's the end of the world. I'm going to come out swinging. I don't care. I don't have any reason to root for you as a character. Like, I get your back's up against the wall. I get that this is bleak and the world is ending. But you got to show me you have something worth saving. You got to show me you got something worth fighting for.
The only thing he had worth fighting for was keeping his son alive as long as he possibly
could. Yeah, and the kids wanted to die too. Well, Papa, I want to be with Mom.
The thing to keep in mind about that, I think this is an interesting concept in terms of like backstories and motivations. The father knows what the world had been like,
mm-hmm.
and he knows that the world was once a good place. The son only knows bleakness, and he has no hope of what it could be. You know, I feel like because of that, his sense of fighting for the world that could be just simply wasn't there, because he has no idea what the world that could be was. All he knows is Ash. Well, that's it.
Have you guys seen The Last of Us?
Yeah.
No.
The Last of Us, the video game and the TV show, they both cite this as a source. The creators of the video game cite the road as a source. Those, it's very similar in plot, except with more zombies instead of cannibals.
So more people eaters instead of the people eaters.
Yeah. But the kid in The Last of Us is older and has a personality.
Yeah, that's true.
And has, like, you know, you might not like the kid, you might hate the kid, you might, but the kid is a developed, is as a character, there's something there. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, by making the kid 16 versus 8, you now have a personality to, like, okay, the, you know, I root for Ellie and Joel because I know who they are. They have names. They're actual characters. Whereas Papa and Son are archetypes, and they're bad at archetypes. Like, I don't care if they live or survive. You know, because I have no reason to root for them. Mm-hmm. You know, so
maybe they weren't meant to be rooted for.
Well, then what's the point of the story?
To let you know that this type of future shouldn't be there and you should do changes now before it happens.
But we're not given that because we don't know what caused the apocalypse.
That's the other thing I hate, sorry.
Like, because we don't know.
Yeah, you don't know, so you don't know what you need to change.
Yeah. Right? Like, is it
climate? Is it a nuclear war?
Nuclear war? Is it an environmental situation? Is it a volcano? Is it, you know, like.
I would have liked to have known what caused it, you know, even just in a flashback. Yeah. Would be cool.
You know, if it was Yellowstone super volcano blowing up, then there's absolutely nothing that could be changed at this point.
I don't know how you'd stop that happening.
Yeah, like, you know.
Put a dome on it. I don't know.
Should I turn it off, turn it on again?
Asteroid?
Fill it up with water?
Yeah. If it's an asteroid, like, you know, the thing that we could have done to prevent it would have spent more money on NASA, but we don't know. We're not given.
You could have sent Bruce Willis.
Exactly.
That's how you fix that. Yeah. You cowboy up.
Uh-huh.
Kaye, Mr. Falcon.
But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is we have two characters who are in absolute bleakness and we're supposed to be rooting for them, and they give me nothing to root for. I don't relate to these characters. In fact, more often than not, Papa does something that is going to put them in more harm's way than, you know, because he's not, he's smart, but he's not, he's clever, but he's not smart. Like, he can figure some things out, but putting a mattress on top of a basement entrance is just going to draw more attention to the basement entrance.
See, I feel like that was a good idea given the resources that he had. It's not the best idea, obviously. It could have been a lot better, but, like, given that what was there was a mattress and dust, like, I kind of feel like it's an okay thing.
It's better than nothing.
It's not a bad idea, but it's not a great idea.
So, again, my core problem with the book is I don't care if these characters live or die.
Yeah.
Like, they give me nothing. There's no, like, give me, you know, I get that the world is over as we know it. It's you know, we're in a bad situation. We're back to basics. But, you know, there's nothing there to fight for. There's nothing to root for. There's nothing, you know, give me something, some sort of hope that I can sink my teeth into.
Okay, so this might be a tangent, but at the very end of the book, after the boy has been taken in by the new family that he's found,
mm-hmm.
there's mention of, I think it's trout in a stream. Like, in the audiobook, the version I listened to anyway, there was like, I don't know if it's a flashback or current times or whatever, but there's description of a trout in a stream, and like, on its back is a map of the world of how it used to be, and I don't know if that's a literal trout that survived, and thus there's hope at the end, or if it's a metaphorical thing that happened in the past, and we're still fucked. Like, I don't know how to take it. Which might have been the point.
I think it was just a memory of the lady talking about trout and how they had a map on their back.
Hmm.
I don't know. I didn't so much mind that he didn't name the characters. it bothered me a little bit, but it was a definite writing choice. The problem that I had was in the scene where they're hiding in the woods, they're hiding off the road, and the guy comes and takes a leak, and he sees them, and there's an action scene. Mm-hmm. The dad is described as the man, and the man taking a piss is described as the man. Which and in the action, I was confused about which man was doing what.
Which man is peeing?
Well, no, like once it was past that, where they're, you know, one reaches for the boy, and one and the man did this, and the man did this, and the boy did this, and the man did this, and which man? Okay, the man got shot by the. Okay, we know the dad had a gun. Okay, but like it was a little, it was confusing because there was not differentiation.
Yes, I could see. So, I could see that because it didn't bother me until you said it now, because it was in the movie as well. Because
you've seen the movie,
so I know.
Right, but if I didn't, it's the first time I'm like, which one? So in that scene, he should have maybe described the dad as
the
Papa,
bad man, or something.
Or the other man is the bad man, so that there was a distinction between the man and the man, because otherwise. It's confusing.
And especially for how quick that scene is.
Yeah, it's a really fast scene.
It's action heavy, too.
I was listening to the audiobook at that point, and that I was like, okay, I'm not sure about everything that happened in the middle, but they killed the bad guy. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, literally, I was like, which man did which move? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I was, like, confused. And you know, going back through it didn't make it any clearer, really, except you know how the outcome at the end. But it was like, there was no difference. That's where I had a problem. Because of that. So, yeah. Sorry. You looked something up. I was commenting on what
Brandon
said.
Commenting on my issues.
I wasn't actually.
Yeah, and this was in relation to
the other thing that was said.
Lewis said about the trout. It's the last paragraph.
Yeah.
Once there were brook trout in the streams and the mountains.
Okay. That's all,
is,
yeah.
So
yeah.
It is still bleak.
You could see them standing in the amber current where the white edges of their fins.
But it's a flashback. It's not anymore. Okay, Justin, didn't you like? Oh, go ahead.
Not to be pedantic, but is it like once in the past, or is it like one time, once they found?
No, once there was.
It sounded like a flashback to me.
It's definitely. It's talking about the past.
Start with once.
Yeah,
it's not once upon a time. Yeah.
They
smell
the moss in your hand.
It's all past tense. It's not. Yeah. It's not present tense.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Justin. What didn't you like?
You got a list.
Sort of. Some of the things that I didn't like about the book were mostly
nitpicking.
Well.
No, there's one thing that he went on a rant about, and I agree with him. Ooh. Ooh.
Justin doesn't normally rant.
Wow. And I think I know what it is, and I had the same rant.
Well, one thing is, you find a hoard of food.
No, this isn't the rant, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, that was weeks ago.
I know, it's okay.
I probably forgot.
I'll remind
you
because it was good.
but you go through the thing, and if there's a prepper who puts that much food aside and ammunition aside, by golly, there's going to be a gun in there too.
Yes,
there is.
That is
that you pissed me off.
Yeah. And I'm like, to me, that wasn't realistic. Granted, yes, it's obvious fiction, but still,
he was
fiction
trying to make
within
it
the
realistic,
realm of reality.
So yeah,
I'm okay with that because I assumed the prepper left with a gun and didn't come back.
But the thing is, but he buried the thing.
With ammo,
you don't.
You always make sure you have at least one gun for each of the ammo that
you
bury.
You have a gun there, and then you have the gun that you take with you, because the cache is what
emergency.
You fall back on. And if you may need an extra gun, you have it in there.
There isn't a gun, and there never will be. I closed the book and didn't read it for a week.
So that was one of the.
I thought was complete bullshit, because I could tell that Cormac McCarthy is anti-gun.
Or just not a prepper.
Obviously
or
not.
Not a prepper, but.
Then how did he get a Pulitzer Prize? He obviously prepared for this.
Well, not for guns, clearly.
And certain things, like Lewis was saying, the guy is clever but not smart.
Yeah.
The boy. And he's
if the boy was born post-apocalypse, he doesn't know anything else, you grow up around
with all these dangers.
With all these dangers, you are going to grow up at an accelerated rate.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Mentally.
He was young too long.
Yeah,
and
even if you kept him sheltered, that boy, when I say shut up, is going to be quiet because he knows he's going to die if he doesn't. And he
go ranch.
The papa thing. Papa,
I'm scared, Papa.
I'm scared, Papa. Shut up. I'm scared, Papa. Shut up. Are we going to die, Papa? Shut up.
Yeah, if you keep talking, we are. Shut
telling
up.
Him constantly.
He shouldn't have had to.
To be quiet. In reality, the boy would listen to his Papa and stay quiet so they can live longer, or at least live without having to run for their lives every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah.
Because this is all he's known.
Because it's all he's known. Because I know my grandfather, when he grew up during the Depression, at 6 years old, his mother would give him a .22 rifle and say, bring in a handful of shell of bullets, and say, go out and bring home some squirrels for dinner. And Grandpa, at 6 years old, would go out and shoot half a dozen squirrels and bring them home for dinner. Because he grew up like that, he was more mature
and able to do that.
This kid
knew nothing
about survival. I don't care if they lived in one spot for 5 years before they left onto the road, he would still know
something. I need to know to shut bleep up.
You know, that just bugged me to no end.
I hadn't even started reading it, and he went off for at least half an hour about this boy, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to love this boy.
He's like
lessons from Brandon.
I want to be with Mama. I want to die. I want to... Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one that irked me the most, you know.
The other thing about that is, given how much the boy didn't do survival very well.
Yeah.
The father was also extremely patient about it.
Yeah.
You know. Like almost unrealistically patient.
Right.
Yeah.
No one's that patient. and the thing is that he seemed like he was impatient.
Yeah.
In how he reacted. So you're like.
And other times.
Not.
And other times, like the scene where they're breaking into the cellar where the prisoners were.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And in certain situations...
Oh, I hate that scene.
If something is freaking the kid out that much, kids have... they tend to sense things that adults can't because adults are desensitized.
Yeah. Right,
you know,
yeah.
And
because their innocence is still intact.
Yeah, you know, and
for all the problems they've gone through, the boy still is innocent.
Listen to the boy's gut. Something's not right. You should leave.
Right.
You know. So at the same time, it's like, shut the boy up. But at the same time, listen to the boy. It's
right. But the boy also needed to not go. There should have been more. If he's that scared, he should be shaking, pissing himself and whimpering really quietly, but still managing to keep quiet because he knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's where you should have been at. Not, pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa! No.
Shut up.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was the one scene where, because in that moment
he drops the lighter.
Yeah.
That's the one time I was like, okay, I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
This is like, all right, you've screwed up, but it's like, nah, I don't know if I would have held the lighter too.
Yeah.
I don't remember that scene all that well.
You blocked it out like the baby eating scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
it has been over a month since I read this. So.
Now, granted, I know if they, for the sake of the story's sake, they kept moving on, but.
Even if they've been moving on for the whole of the child's life.
A cache of food like that?
Yes.
I would have found some way, somehow, to hole up, stay, because a hoard like that...
It's pure solid gold.
It's solid gold. Exactly. You can live for two people for years on that.
And we're given to understand that bunker, I think it... I forget the
as well.
It would have been for like six people, I want
yeah,
to say.
It, yeah, it was a large bunker. So
there
two
were like
people
more than two beds at least.
Yeah.
He's not an idiot with tools, so he could have taken apart the door and just kind of made a better, less... He could have made it, instead of just putting a mattress over it, he could have made it a little
less
bit
obvious.
Less obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bonnie, your turn.
Okay. Things that I didn't like. That people haven't already said.
Sorry.
No. It's okay because
we're
I
trying to leave it
on that. I know. Yeah. But you had to say that because I heard your rant before I even started the book. I totally agree with him, by the way. Like, and I work with children. Like there are times when you're going to have a panic attack. Mm-hmm. But generally, those aren't loud either.
Yeah.
You know? You have a hard time breathing. You're, you know, like, this is not, yes, kids cry. Mm-hmm. And they do. And sometimes it's just too much. But that's when the dad who has lived, that's when he says, okay, let me, you comfort the child when they're crying as long as it's safe enough to do so.
Yeah.
And otherwise you say, I know you're scared, but you have to be quiet so we can move on. And the kid listens and they whimper silently. Like, the, you know, yeah, enough said on that. I didn't like a lot of the content of the book, but I knew it was going to be that kind of book. Like, I went into it going, okay, it's post-apocalypse, it's not going to be happy. And it wasn't. And he did very well making it not happy. there were things like... Oh, I'm just suddenly overwhelmed with too many things. What do I pick? Ah!
Pick them all.
No, I'm not gonna pick them all.
The second one.
But Papa!
You shut
it's
up.
Your turn. I can't think. No.
I'm gonna open up this cannibal cover here, and you're gonna shut up.
Oh my gosh. And so, like, he should have. When he saw the pile of clothes, he should have known.
That's hint one.
Yeah.
He should have known.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously. So yeah, that he should have known. We know as readers, and we're not living in that freaking world. Mm-hmm. And they've already avoided all these other cannibalistic people. Like, he should have known. And what he should have done was, oh crap, grab some shoes because that's what they're short on.
Yeah.
He didn't even get a chance to. I'm like, just grab some shoes and go. Seriously, grab some shoes and go. And the food, and I know, like, they had their basket and all this stuff, like.
Thanks, Wayne.
I know, some things were hard to carry and blah, 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 blah. They should have...
Well, they had a cart, too.
Yeah,
I
know, but he should have made...
You put some wheelbarrow wheels on that shopping cart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are things you can do, you know, or...
My prepper brain would have tried to utilize anything I can see, and he didn't.
Right, and he did with some things, like plastic sheeting for... keeping off rain or using it to wrap themselves. There were some things he did, but other things I'm like, you know, you could have turned it into a sledge. I mean, there's ruts in the road, but you could have done something where you could have just pulled it along or whatever. Some made something work. All that stuff. I mean, and when they ran out of the fuel for the stove,
mm-hmm.
No.
Just no.
Just no.
It would have happened.
He had checked. Yes, they would have smelled it.
Yeah.
They would have smelled it. Mm-hmm. And he checked it every other time. So I called bullshit on that. Like, that should have lasted a lot longer.
And he clearly knew how to use it, how to shut it off.
Right. And that would have been the first thing he would have taught his son to check for.
Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't happen. It's okay, I'm using this, I'm doing that, this is what I'm doing. He didn't do a lot of that, it was just he just did stuff and then gave the boy stuff. And he'd tell him about the food, it's safe, but it wasn't like he was teaching him the survival skills. He just had to watch his dad and somehow know. I would have been, while I'm doing it, okay, so this is this, and this is, does this, and this, the whole time you're teaching, so he can do it too. If you're injured, maybe he needs to get hot water for you, whatever, you know. And there was none of that.
And given the boy's relative innocence, that speaks to a kind of curiosity that he really mm-hmm. would have learned. He would have learned all
and
that
he would
shit.
Have asked.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid doesn't know when to shut up. Why isn't he asking 10 million questions instead of just going, but Papa, how did you do that? How did you know that?
Yeah.
He should have been hearing more stories of before. I'm not saying that they didn't do that. I just felt like There should have at least been some of that. Yes.
Yeah.
There should have been some of that. There wasn't. That was lacking.
In your headcanon, you can add that to make him a better father. But we're not shown that.
No, but that should have been part of it. Mm-hmm. It should have
don't
really been.
Don't make the reader make your characters better for you.
It's not my job. That's the writer's job. And he missed out on some things.
Okay,
David. I know you have a long list, and I'm trying to not list everything because there are things you need to be able to share. But I'm just saying, like, that that should have been part of it.
Nobody's covered anything that.
Not just keeping the boy alive, but teaching the boy how to help himself. Because the dad knows he's sick. He knows he's not going to live forever. He's trying to keep the boy alive for as long as he can, so the boy has a better chance of making it on his own. Why is he not also, while he's doing that, teaching him these skills?
Because he's busy teaching the boy how to kill himself if he gets captured.
Right?
Oh
right?
My God, yeah.
He teaches him that. He knows how to use a gun.
He knows how to
put it in his mouth and blow out his own brains. But he doesn't know how to check to make sure that the fuel can isn't leaking on their awesome portable cooking, like, whole kitchen, basically.
It's not a priority is
like a portable Coleman stove.
I know!
Priority.
Oh!
Also, did it seem like they only grabbed two fuel cans from that bunker?
Right, and I thought
there must have been 20.
If the goal was to, we can't stay here because it's getting too cold.
They could have stayed in there in that bunker, and they could have survived the winter.
Yes.
And given what I imagine the fuel can must have been size-wise, you could easily put five of those in the cart, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they should have been able to survive
if they,
there.
If they were working off of white gas, it's generally sold in gallon cans.
Okay.
Yeah, but still, as opposed to
butane stove.
The thing he was using was a butane stove. It wasn't a gas stove. It wasn't a white gas stove because white gas, the only time it pressurizes is when you've pumped it up.
Right.
And once your pressure's gone, then you still have fuel, but just no pressure. What I understood was a propane stove that he left the burner on. I mean, the valve on, because he was talking about it had two valves, one valve for the burner, one valve for the tank.
It would have been noticeable.
Whether it was white gas or butane or propane, they would have smelled it.
Yeah, they wouldn't have suddenly been out. Oh no! Life sucks even more again. Okay, I probably have said plenty. Go ahead. Wayne. Papa?
Come on.
He's my papa. Sorry, Papa. I love you, Papa.
So, one scene that I felt was an awesome scene that ended up being totally wasted. When the dad is foraging on the ship, and he's made several trips, and he finds the sextant, all in this box, all fully functional, all working.
And he knows how to use it.
Brand new.
He recognizes it. He obviously has a clue how to use a sextant. He can pinpoint where they are. Mm-hmm. He finds it, and he just is like, wow, this is awesome. And then you never hear about it again.
He puts it away.
He puts it back and doesn't even take it with him.
Right?
You know?
And you're just like, what?
I know, I felt that was the stupidest thing, too.
And it was like probably one of the most useful things you found on this boat.
It's essentially much better than a compass.
Right.
And a map that you're guesstimating. Yes. I think we are here.
And you're over here.
Right?
Or the Chekhov's stents, you know, like Chekhov's gun. If you put something there in the beginning, you got to use it at the end. So why does this even exist in the book if he doesn't use it?
Yeah, yes. Which it could have been really useful. Like, it wasn't like something really pretty that they didn't have
a need for.
And it was it wasn't like he found this really cool music box.
He taught his son how to use it.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't like a music box where, okay, that's appreciated, but we don't need the sound because it's going to draw people to us. We don't have the space in the cart. It's just extra weight. We don't need it. It wasn't something like that. It was something useful.
I know when that scene came up and they were
like, oh, that's great. This is going to be awesome.
The box before he opened it, I thought it was going to be a revolver or a pistol of some kind.
Yeah.
cased pistol, but it turned out to be the sextant instead.
Yeah. Now, the other scene, thing he did bring back from the boat that was of value was the flare gun.
Yes.
With the 7 or 8 cartridges that he had.
Yes.
And he tells his son about it and how awesome it is, and his son is like, ooh, can we fire one? And his dad is like, sure, we'll wait till it gets dark, and then it fires off the flare, kaboom.
And let's draw everybody within 100 miles to it.
Yeah. Somebody comes and steals all their stuff while they're sleeping.
And they're shocked about that.
How did they know where we were?
They fired more than one round.
No, they just fired one.
They just fired the one.
They fired more than one.
He fired one to show his son what it did.
And someone stole their stuff the next day, yeah.
God, man.
Da, 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 da.
This is what the gun does. Yeah. It draws people to you to steal your stuff or kill you.
Only light for miles around.
Right.
And of course,
that you've seen in years.
Yeah. Yeah. That only could have come from a person.
Yeah, they should have done that right before they left the beach. Yeah. Not when they were still hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, like, his whole goal was to get to the ocean, but I still think he should have spent more time at the bunker. I'm still irritated about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we're all irritated.
But then
that
would have made the book last longer.
Don't do that to me. We could have stopped it there. They lived really happy in the boat until someone found him and ate him. The end! Oh, no, no, no. We couldn't get that.
Okay, David.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, the bunker really pissed me off because, I'm sorry, I would have stayed there until, okay, we're starting to run out of supplies. Mm-hmm. It's enough for us to carry.
And that's
now we leave.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so worried about the snow. Get a fucking car hood and put the cart on there, and you could drag it across the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And how many houses did they bypass that still had carpet in them? Mm-hmm. Hello, those are snowshoes.
That's true.
Yeah. Yep. That's carpet. Yep.
It's snowshoes.
Good point.
I was just, I noticed little shit like that. And then they're bathing in freezing cold water. I go, you're tossing out all your food cans. You could heat them in the fire. You're cooking your food. You get some cold water, heat it up. Now you got warm water to wash yourself with instead of freezing to death.
Right.
Yep.
So, and then how many homes did they bypass? I mean, I can understand not going there because they're scared. But someone that is leaving a post-apocalyptic home isn't going to be taking their pots and pans with them.
No, no.
You could easily have carried like a big pot or something. You could boiled water in there and taken bird baths with it and everything, mm-hmm. and use the warm water that way instead of freezing it. Oh, it was highly annoying. And yes, the guns not being in there, especially when the lock on that door was completely secure and you know that thing was hidden. And there was no guns in there?
And nobody had
bullshit.
Used it.
Yeah. Bullshit with a capital BS.
Chemical toilet? Take the time to learn how to use a chemical toilet.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Let me see.
Right.
Oh, it was...
Because they come with instructions.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The dad could read. He should have taught the boy at that point too. By the way, just saying.
Oh, here's one.
Does the son not know how to read?
I don't remember.
They talk about it because they, in the beginning, they're working on his
lessons.
Yeah.
And then by the end, they've completely stopped working on lessons for months.
Okay. Yeah. Should have been teaching him.
Here's one that kind of like made me go, what the fuck? When they found the people in the house.
Mm-hmm. The people that were being eaten?
No, inside the basement. They were locked in the basement.
Yeah, they were food.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was the larder.
They had the people that were capturing those people had like a little complex little guard system with the rope and the bell.
Uh-huh.
How come there was no one there when the man in the kid showed up?
No, they weren't there. They were outside hunting.
Why?
But yeah, there should have been one.
There should have been someone there.
There
would have
been someone there.
Why would you... Why would you leave your food source unattended?
There was only like 3 of them, though, wasn't it? Or was it 4?
There was 3. Well, we're going to assume one of them was in the bathroom.
Was it the same kid?
Yeah.
it was, no, it was
still, they would have never left their food source unattended.
No, they wouldn't have.
Because they would have been caught at that house, and they would have been thrown in the basement when
and, part of a traveling.
And group. Here's the other thing.
Right.
Here's the other thing. Had they, let's say for some reason they had to leave it unattended because there was an emergency or something, and blah blah blah. What, I don't know.
They wouldn't have taken their whole group.
But there was only a few of them. There was only like four of them. But here's the thing. You realize, oh crap, we've just opened the cannibal's larder. And they're gonna, and then you realize they're coming back. Open it. Leave it open. Let those people run for run and be the distraction, and you get away.
They were chained.
They weren't all chained up, though.
I thought they were all chained up.
I thought they weren't.
Doesn't matter.
They were locked in. Why chain them when they're locked in? I don't remember if I in my memory they weren't chained up. So I would have let them loose to be a distraction, so you can sneak away. They can go check. Chase down the people who are having a hard time moving anyway, but there's a whole group of them they got to chase down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you're going to leave them to die anyway. Well, maybe some of them will get away, but you get a chance to get away because you just, there's a big loss of distraction. Like, you know, oh no, there goes our food.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shooting the flare gun, I thought, what are you doing, you idiot? But the one thing that I thought was like, I'm like scratching my head, was after going through the whole book with the pistol being so important, I don't see the boy just forgetting about it at the beach.
Yes.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that a father has drilled into this kid's head.
Yeah.
Keep the gun.
Oh, I forgot it. I just went, oh my God, I think I want to forget this book. It was just, I just went, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis, are you glad you read the book?
Well, I'm glad we had this conversation.
I know, me too, actually. This is better or worse than Maze Runner. You know what was more fun than reading the book? Talking about it with each other. That was more fun.
I am glad for having read the book, but I'm not going to read it again.
Oh, heck no.
It's one of those one and done books.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it talks about
dump and dump.
it talks about like a very distinct, real possibility that, you know, love it or hate it, at the very least you got to consider the possibility of it, right? Like currently, it's not the end of the world. Not guaranteed to stay that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
To a certain extent, you gotta kind of fucking consider some of this stuff at least, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Even with that, I think I would read The Maze Runner again, but not this one.
Wow!
The Maze Runner is fun.
Stuff happens there.
Stuff happens there.
They don't just walk from one point
to another. It isn't as dreary or boring. No,
that's true.
It isn't as well written, though.
That's
true. Even though this is a really interesting writing style and really different and debatably horrible or unique, depending on how you want to look at it, well, Maze Runner was more poorly written.
Definitely. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Final thoughts?
Well, before we get final thoughts, I want, because the one thing I was waiting to get brought up, nobody brought up.
Okay.
You know, we're carrying the fire.
Mm-hmm. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I forgot about that.
See, in the interview with Oprah, McCarthy says the fire is kindness. Mm-hmm. We are never fucking shown that in this book.
No.
We are never shown.
Never.
That was my understanding of that phrase, is that it I mean, obviously it's not something literal.
It meant we're the good guys, but
it was essentially them trying to hold on to their humanity via an easily digestible phrase.
Mm-hmm.
But at times, the father really drops the fire a lot.
Yeah.
He's going to die anyway. We'll have less food.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, it should have been more impactful and had a bigger role in the overall story.
The best part is when he meets the new family and he goes, "Do you carry the fire?"
And they don't know what he's talking
and
about.
And the guy goes, "You say creepy shit sometimes." He's like, that's the best part.
He's like, "Oh, you're a kid with issues.
Yeah. You're a little fucked up, aren't you?"
You know what? We're all a little fucked up. Welcome home, son. Call you Billy.
What's your name? I don't know. I was never given one.
My name is Boy.
Right?
My name's Shut Up.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, final thoughts, starting with Louis.
That was the best right there, man.
Oh, God. I'm glad for having read this book. I do think it is, air quotes, a good book. Like, it's well written. It's a subject matter that is important to consider at least vaguely for once in your life. Like, it's a
good... But if you've read a bunch of others like this, then don't worry about this one.
Yeah, there's probably much more narratively impactful and meaningful post-apocalypse books out there, you know?
Right.
Warm Bodies. World War Z.
Dude, Warm Bodies was actually an interesting book, but anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad for having read it, but I'm not going to read it again.
All right. I'm not so glad for having read it, but I'm glad for the discussion. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
I guess there's really not much more to say. I mean, everyone's pretty much said it. Like, written-wise, pretty good, just not for me. And definitely, if I'm going to go in for that bleak fiction post-apocalypse, there are other books that I think did it better, but...
David, you said that the movie followed the book like really closely.
Yeah, it was really close.
Just watch the movie. It sounds more interesting.
Yeah, and it only take you 2 hours instead of 2 days to read the book.
That's my final thoughts. I kind of went out of order, but... Yeah,
that's a redemptive quality for the book, that it's such a quick read.
Okay, I'll give it that. The movie's shorter.
Yeah, the movie's shorter.
Although now that I've read the book, I have no need to watch the movie.
Ready? Well, Viggo Mortensen. Maybe he wrote this book. You know?
I like Viggo. I'll admit that. I like Viggo. He's good.
No, I think I've said everything I can say.
Yeah. Justin? Final thoughts? I kind of skipped and said mine.
He's just shrugging listeners.
Papa, do you have any final thoughts?
You know, normally I say this book is worth the read. I'm not sure.
All right.
David?
Now that I've seen the movie and read the book.
You're the only one of us who's seen the movie, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You guys did?
Mm-mm. No, we've never seen the movie.
Yeah, I've seen the movie. I saw the movie before reading the book, and I'd have to say that I like the movie better. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's really, really close. There's some little minor differences, but it's not really gonna matter. So I'd say if you are interested in this, just watch the movie.
Right.
It'd be much quicker.
That's a rare recommendation. We don't usually say just watch the movie.
Yeah, this is a book club and we're telling you to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say I think it's kind of funny. I was noticing, you know, looking at the time on our recording, doing the positives. By the time we got to Justin doing the positives, it was only at like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then now after all the the rest of everyone and all the negatives, we're at almost like an hour and a half.
We normally go about an hour and a half per episode, but normally it's 50-50.
Yeah, no, it's definitely
there's not much.
25-75.
So
or 30-70, something
out
like that.
Out of a 10 rating, I'd probably give the book like a 6.
Wow, I would give it that high.
Yeah, I'd go that high.
No, just because I know the author was meant for this to be a dark movie or dark book, and he accomplished that.
That's he did accomplish what he's going for. But
the grammar and the punctuation, there was no chapters.
The whole thing was it wasn't
all one big chapter.
Yeah,
all one big train of thought with side trails, bunny
trails.
That's
my final thought. Watch the movie, skip the book.
T.S. Eliot-esque, no punctuation.
Yeah. I had to read Walden in high school. That was more boring, but this was, you know, close. oh man, I hated reading that.
Well, this is one thing that I will say.
This was more interesting.
That I love about book club. Is it does get you to try stuff out of your normal...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not saying... It's not like, you know, I don't feel like it was time wasted.
Yeah, no.
But it wasn't like... I don't necessarily want to go out and read his next book.
I will say...
I'm sorry, but
that's
no.
The best thing is even a book that, like, I absolutely don't like, like you said, it's not time to waste that. Because I say, now I know. Now I know I might not be into this author. Now I know this particular book.
A little bit the wiser.
Yeah, and so
may not be my favorite topic or favorite style.
Or if I talk to somebody who does like Cormac McCarthy, I could be like, oh yeah, I read The Road. Didn't like it. What did you think of it?
I never would have read that Western.
Comstock Lowe.
Yeah.
Comstock. Really did blow me away. Yeah. So I will say, like, book club.
I have enjoyed. Yeah.
I told Brandon before, because Westerns aren't really my thing either, but I really liked Comstock Lowe. Mm-hmm. That took me by surprise. Like, oh my God, I'm glad now that I read it. You know, because it's like.
But we liked that Conan book, which I probably wouldn't have necessarily picked up.
Or a Princess of Mars, I think.
Oh, yeah. I love me some John Carter.
You know, because when as a reader or whatever you talk about, when you talk about an interest, you kind of put yourself in a box as to like what you like and what you don't like, and oh, I would never read that because that's, you know, this kind of genre and I don't like that genre. And then you end up missing out on maybe a couple gems that okay, maybe it's not your normal read, but
yeah, it for sure.
I had wanted to read McCarthy for a while, and this book in particular I knew was an award winner, but it was, you know, outside of book club, it was nowhere near my to-be-read pile, right?
So who wants to draw from the box?
Well, Lewis...
Hasn't been here for quite some
time. And it's Lewis's book.
Let him draw from the box.
If he draws another one of his books, he's putting it
back in there.
Let's see what it is.
I don't even remember what I put
in.
You can't look.
They're all folded.
This is The Twistrose Key by Tone Almhill. I think that's correct. It looks Swedish.
Yeah, it's North.
Your suggestion.
It's my suggestion. It's it was not originally written in English. Can you tell by the authors? Gotcha. I have read this though.
Okay.
I found it several years back at the Dollar Tree and really enjoyed it.
Is it better than Maze Runner?
Yes. Or I wouldn't have suggested it. It's sort of a fantasy. It's a little more young adult, but it was interesting. I liked it. It was different.
Be a refreshing change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't actually know how to pronounce the author's name either. So it's called The Twistrose Key, and the author's first name is spelled T-O-N-E. Last name is Almhjell. It's Swedish or something like that. It's very Norse.
It's probably Tony Almhjell.
Something like that. But anyway, that's our next book.
All right.
Cool.
We are the Bookies.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good one, whether you read this or not.
Dad, you read this one too, didn't you?
Okay, there you have it. That was our in-depth review of The Road by Cormac McCarthy. Next up is The Twistrose Key by Tone... I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing this last name. You know what? I was pretty hard on this book, but... after sitting with it for a while, and it's a fun book, especially after The Road. We get talking animals. We get it's a fun magical kids book. Yay! Fun has returned to the land of the bookies after such dark affair. So I hope you enjoy... this upcoming episode, The Twistrose Key. with that said, once again, let's get that last cheap plug in. Patreon.com/DestinyComics or DestinyComics.weebly.com if you want to buy our books directly from us. With that said, any support is... if you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter. And we really need your support. So thank you, and I hope you enjoy these episodes. Because we have a fun time putting them together and putting them out. With that said, I hope you enjoyed our review, and I hope you keep coming back. Thanks.